Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by either tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, now I'm joined by Dan Watts, who, of course, is an Albion supporter. You may know him from 1878_WBA on Twitter or 1878.net on the internet. Where else would it be? Dan, very glad to have you on to talk about West Bromwich Albion. Obviously, my highlight of the West Bromwich season was I was there with you, which was great. We went and saw Liverpool. But the season on the whole for the club seemed to be pretty topsy-turvy. As a neutral, it seemed very much tale of two halves of the season. The first half looked like you were challenging for Europe. You had Matty Phillips and Nasser Chadli doing the business. Rondon was scoring goals. He had a hat trick in a game. The second half, maybe not so great.
Yeah, I would say that it was more of a story of a mixed start, and then November, December, January, February were quite positive. In fact, no, that's probably a slight disservice. It was very positive, you know, for a good 3 or 4 months. We were taking our chances, playing some good attacking football on the break, and certainly making use of plenty of set pieces. But then since March has arrived, we have been nothing short of extremely poor. And that was pretty much as soon as we hit the 40-point mark. In fact, we hit the 40-point mark. I think it was against Bournemouth. It was a 2-1 win at home. And since then, we've won once in the Premier League over 11 or 12 games. So, yeah, it just sort of went downhill a bit. I mean, you get the old Tony Pulis on the beach statistic of when he's got a team to 40 points across a season, they usually fade off and finish between 13th, 14th and pretty much only win a couple of times again towards the end of the season. And that pattern was pretty much exactly what Albion did. We were 8th, and we were 8th by a long shot. You know, it looked like nobody could catch us, really. All we needed was a couple of wins to secure 8th spot in the Premier League. And, for a time, it was looking like we might even challenge for 7th or 6th. And we really, really fell off. And, of course, we finished in 10th spot by losing to Swansea on the last game of the season. But there were plenty of good times throughout the season. We won a lot of games at home by high score lines across November, December, January. We beat Hull 3-1, Swansea 3-1, Watford 3-1, Burnley 4-0. It wasn't a bad season at all if you look at it in that respect. But of course, it's not like we've just tailed off a little bit towards the end of the season. It does genuinely feel like we just gave up. I mean, I'm not going to go over the top and fault the players' effort and say that they weren't trying, or because that would be unfair. But I think towards the end of the season, when you know you're safe, I think Pulis as a manager has to blood some youth. He has to be a bit more. He needs to be able to free the players up in terms of tactics wise. We've done the job defensive throughout the season. Why not try and go for it in a few matches? I mean, the amount of zeros that we got towards the end of the season, I think 8 of our last 11 or 12 games we failed to
Oh.
score. So for a team that was supposedly safe, what is for the fans at that point? Because we're out of both cup competitions. We know we're safe. So for me, the only thing for the fans then would be seeing some good football and trying to enjoy the end of the season. Letting our hair down and relax a bit. And it just didn't seem like we were able to because we were still employing the stupidly defensive tactics under Tony Pulis. And there are those Albion fans that will stick up for Tony Pulis, and that is absolutely fine. I understand we finished 10th across the Premier League season, but when you're paying the kind of money that fans do, like I do, I think I'm entitled to my opinion. And my opinion is that Pulis ball is really, really tough to watch when it's at its worst. And it just seems to me that when it's at its worst, we really struggle to get away from it. We really do struggle to have that one game where we do something good with the ball and play attractive stuff in the opponent's half. And it just didn't happen for those last, I mean, the last 9 games, we lost 7 and drew 2. Which is, it's pretty much indefensible, really. That isn't how a team that's meant to be mid-table finishes a Premier League season. So yeah, it is tough to really pinpoint an emotion, really, because it has been good, it has been bad. There's plenty of fans that are for Pulis, there's plenty of fans that are against Pulis. You know, it just seems like we're just plodding along season upon season, and the attendances are suffering for that. There's definitely, you know, a Premier League familiarity about how we are as a club, and maybe the fans aren't so excited and aren't willing to renew their season tickets. The attendances are the lowest they've been for maybe 7 or 8 years now. And of course, pricing comes into that as well. And you know, what a club's willing to do about bringing fans back. But it just seems maybe the one word I would describe the Albion at the minute in terms of fans, in terms of the players, maybe in terms of the management team, is the opinion is pretty much just divided, unfortunately, and it just doesn't seem like a solid base to be moving forward, in my opinion.
I mentioned when I got to get over there was a fan that was sitting next to us that said he wasn't going to come back to the Hawthorns while Pulis was still the manager, which is basically the end result of some of the division you were talking about there. Should action be taken upon that, I guess, is the next step. If people are already disgruntled and there are already fans that are saying they won't go, and as you mentioned, there were empty seats and stuff after that, is the best thing for the club to get rid of Pulis and the inherent safety he provides to try to move further up the table? Because earlier in the season, we were talking about you were legitimately chasing a European spot. Then that kind of fell out of likelihood. And as you said, you just kind of didn't really put up much of a fight for the rest of the season. But should you be dreaming higher than there?
Don't get me wrong, look, I know that I'm a West Bromwich Albion fan, and I know that pushing for European football is dreamland stuff, really. And we were close to that this season. So I'm not gonna be wholly negative about the fact that we finished 10th in the league, or the fact that we've managed to compete with teams that spend a lot more money than we do. But I do believe the club, if it was up to me, then it would be a perfect time for us to part ways with Pulis now and to look forward and to see if we could try and have a bit more of an exciting brand of football and get rid of the division amongst the fan base, because I'm not sure the club realise quite how bad it is. The problem is the club see pound signs and to the point where they know that pretty much every season Tony Pulis football will guarantee Premier League survival, and for them to jeopardise that when the money, when the game of football now is so business driven, would be potentially counterproductive for the club. And I understand that and I get that, but it is, that is again an example of the club being out of touch with the supporters. And I understand why they have to do that from a business point of view, but they also have to understand that then we're not going to sell out then every week, and we are going to struggle to maybe entice certain kinds of players. And so we are just going to keep chugging along in this mid-table mediocrity until maybe a point comes like Stoke did 5 or 6 years down the line when they decided that they wanted to take a fresh approach and move on without Pulis. Maybe that's something that will happen with the Albion more down the line. But I think as it stands, I can't see us be relegated next season, but I certainly can't see us pushing top eight either. So it's almost like you're relying then on the cup competitions. And even then, we've played weakened sides again in the cup this season and suffered for it. And it's like, I mean, there will be fans of clubs across the land, and I'm sure those listening who support clubs that aren't maybe in quite the position we are. And I don't want to come across like I'm sounding like I'm, you know, like, but I don't want people to feel sorry for the fact that West Brom are where we are, or because I realise we are in a privileged position really in the Premier League, but that doesn't help the fact that I'm spending money doing something every week that is becoming a chore. And only clubs, for me, in my opinion, that have had Pulis as a manager will be able to relate to that. You ask any Stoke fan, really, how they felt towards the end of the time that Pulis was at the club. And they will say they were probably losing interest in the game. And add to that the whole Premier League mantra of everything's money based, everything's for the TV fan. The prices of matches are ridiculous. The cost of being able to get to the cost of being able to get to matches, if you add to that on top of it, everything just seems like it's money based. The fact that we pay our Sky subscriptions, our BT Sports subscriptions, and then in turn get our own matches moved from the 3 p.m. Saturday slot to ridiculous Friday night matches or Monday night matches or even Tuesday night, Sunday at 12 o'clock in the morning. You know, fans don't really want that. Football is being pulled away from what it originally was, and it just feels like at the moment there is so much discontent amongst the football fan that, as a working class football fan especially, the game is being moved in a direction away from what it once was, and a lot of people are struggling to relate to that. As much as I love their football club, I'll always be a West Bromwich Albion fan, it's becoming increasingly difficult to enjoy the fact that I love football, and because I'm starting to think that maybe I could be doing other things with my weekend, and that's not me. That's not, certainly not how I've been throughout my life. If I've been able to get up the Albion, I mean, I've always had pretty much had a season ticket. Mm. It's really tough to weigh up what needs to be done, because the club aren't willing to make any changes in that regard, because it's all about the money. But if we were to introduce safe standing, if we were to maybe employ a different manager, if we were maybe to play attacking football, if we were maybe to, you know, offer season tickets at a price which is fair for the region that we live in. I mean, West Bromwich lies in the second poorest area in the country in terms of economics. So, well, we do struggle to be able to get fans to the games when it's £39 a ticket. £39 a ticket plus paying for a kid's ticket as well, or two adults going to the game together, plus a few beers, plus a drink, plus some food or whatever during the day, and plus the transport to get there. You're talking about, even for a home game, maybe £150. No, that isn't feasible in my opinion, and the clubs across the Premier League all need to realise this. And I've made this point many times. I'm part of the West Bromwich Albion Supporters Forum, the Albion Assembly, and I will continually repeat that I think that the players are benefiting too much, agents benefit too much, managers benefit too much from Sky Money and from gate receipts, and that the supporters of clubs need something back. And because of the way it's going at the minute, we'll get to a point where it will stagnate and things will drop off. And surely the clubs can see that long term, it isn't okay to continually have more expensive tickets, and expect the fans to just be okay with it. It's, you know, I'm really struggling to see a future for the sport if things carry on as they are in terms of a sport for your working class football fan being able to attend matches, because I'm sure there'll always be a TV audience for football, but how exciting is that going to be when it's being played in front of half-empty stadiums?
Yeah, and one of the problems is the clubs know that regardless of how high the prices are, people will still come. Although, I guess we're just saying it, Albion, though, is that that hasn't been the case because of the brand of football.
You're right in that regard, because people will still come, but it's a different kind of football fan.
Right.
It's a kind of football fan that won't go to a match and won't create an atmosphere. Now, that's up to you. If you're that kind of person, you want to enjoy the football and you don't want to have a sing and you don't want to have a beer, that's absolutely fine. There is no problem with that. And there are supporters of that ilk across the land. And, you know, that's absolutely fine. But the traditional, you know, football fan who works a long week at work, spends his spare money on a few beers and watching the Albion, having a sing, meeting up with friends. That is, for me, the lifeblood of football in this country. That is what football is all about. Not the stupidly high wages, not the corporate tickets, not the players earning so much money that they become detached from society. It is all about the experience of being a football fan, and that is not going to be there. And so if you want to go to a football, you're enjoying a product which is completely different than it used to be. And so for me, that is the whole reason why it's not just the Albion where this is happening. It's clubs across the land. But my emphasis and my point is that with the Albion, it's probably worse because of the division amongst the fans in regard to Pulis. And because a lot of the time, we're spending good money to come up and watch matches. We're having 25% possession. We may be creating two or three chances, and we're seeing another team put four in the back of the net or three in the back of the net, and we're struggling to score ourselves. So if you look at it on the whole, maybe I am even jealous of clubs that have got the money who are in the League Two and League One who just go to matches and their fans go to matches to enjoy the game, and if they win, they win, and if they lose, they lose. And, you know, it's football isn't like that in the Premier League, and it's becoming increasingly difficult for me to justify putting my money into it at the moment because of the reasons stated.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, we're going to go back from that very deep conversation about the culture of football to talking about your summer signings last year.
Yeah.
Nasser Chadli and Matty Phillips. Two of the, as far as a team summer, I mean, those are two pretty good hits. Maybe expected more from Chadli at times. And then Phillips obviously had injury issues. But on top of all this, unfortunate stuff surrounding the club, that was some fairly good bits of business there.
Yeah, I think the signing of Phillips is probably our best one. He came up with lots of assists. He was always a willing runner and willing to get the team up the pitch when we were struggling at the back. He came into his own a bit, maybe towards November, December, January time. He really showed what he was worth, and it's unfortunate that at the end of the season he's had injury issues and we've not been able to utilise him, because we might be able to pick up maybe a couple more points, such as his influence been throughout the season. I think with Chadley, I'm not going to fault Chadley at all. I'm going to blame Pulis, and I'm not sure if anybody wants to agree with this one or not. Albion fans might, some might not. But for me, Chadley's been played out of position on the wing. He's not a winger. He can't influence the game like he wants to from the wings. Maybe the idea for Pulis behind that is that he'll see more of the ball on counter-attacks. But we need to be playing a system of football that is able to bring a player like Chadley into play a lot more. Him behind the striker or in attacking midfield role is perfect for him. He's able to slot through nice, neat passes. He's able to take on a few players and have a go from a central area. He's able to intelligently use the ball to run in the middle of a park to then bring in the wingers, who traditionally are there to beat one man and whip in a good cross in a Pulis side. So I don't think Chadley's been played in the right position. I think we might have seen more from him if he had been. But it's typical Pulis, isn't it? He plays players in, well, wherever he wants to put them, really. He signs players and then doesn't play them in probably their most favourable position, because it would suit the team for him as a whole if they were played in a different role. So going forward, I'm just hoping that Chadley wants to stay and that we can utilise him much better next season.
Mm. Well, the goal of him leaving Tottenham in the first place was minutes to get back into the Belgium side. And he got mm-hmm. minutes with you and got back into the Belgium side, which, again, the year before the World Cup is very important. So I personally would be surprised if he left, but I guess that will remain to be seen. On top of them, I know you're a huge Darren Fletcher fan, but there are...
Don't even...
Not even jokingly? Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
He's not. For people listening at home. But there are obviously places in the squad where it could be improved. What positions do you think will be added to in the summer?
Well, if I go through the team, goalkeeper, we're absolutely fine. Ben Foster and Boaz Mahia.
He was terrific this year. It's unfortunate that De Gea automatically won
because he played United. That's why he won, because a lot of people are short-sighted and aren't willing to look at the abilities of a goalkeeper playing in a side that has 30% possession every week and has to be called into action a lot during games. Surely that would make a better goalkeeper than David De Gea, who didn't even have a good season for himself. De Gea is a very, very good goalkeeper. He has an average season. He stayed under a radar. Whereas if people are willing to go out there and look for a goalkeeper that's played well throughout 38 matches, they would be looking at Ben Foster. They would be looking at Heaton. They would maybe be looking at Lloris. They wouldn't be looking for me at De Gea. But that's cool. That's just a symptom of being an unfavourable club based in the centre of the country. A goalkeeper we find. Left back, we play Nyon there at the minute. Brunt has played there occasionally. I personally think we're okay with Nyon there. But it would be better... I think long-term, if we were to sign a new left-back. So a left-back is a prominent position. We've been looking at Charlie Taylor from Leeds. But as with the Albion, there's arguments over him, which we're willing to pay Leeds to sign him. And then he'll be on a free transfer very soon at the end of the season. So he might well go to a tribunal, but then there'll be other clubs sniffing around, so he might have missed a boat. So typical Albion, will we sign Charlie Taylor? Who knows? But he would be a good addition in terms of on the pitch footballing ability. Not sure about his attitude, his attitude at Leeds towards the end of the season when he didn't want to play, which stinks. But centre of defence, we've got Wilson at the minute, but he's going back to Bournemouth, who can play any role really across the back line. Of course, Johnny Evans, Craig Dawson, both fantastic players. Dawson being favoured on the right a lot of time. McCauley is pushing age-wise towards an age where he will surely have to be used as backup. Hopefully not. Hopefully he can continue what he's doing and be our first choice, but I can't see that being the case. So we're going to need centre-backs. And for me, if we could play Nyam at right-back and sign a left-back and move Dawson into the centre, then that just solves that problem without needing to worry too much. But a right-back will be needed if Pulis wants to persist with playing triangle holes in diamond holes or whatever, I don't know, what's the phrase? Square holes, round pegs, I don't know. I think in the middle of a park, we're fine with Livermore and Jakob. Livermore probably tailed off towards the end of the season, but the whole team did, so you know, I'm not going to judge him too much. We'll judge him next season. Jakob does exactly what he's meant to do very well. He breaks up play and passes it to a better player. The problem is when he's passing to Fletcher, Fletcher's not a better player. Fletcher shouldn't be anywhere near the Albion starting 11. I wouldn't even put him on the bench if it was me. He's fell off so badly. He dallies on the ball. He gets closed down way too easily. He cannot pick a pass. He offers nothing really in terms of an option behind a striker at all, which Pulis has tried to play him there this season, which is a bit odd. And so you're left with a player that's really great in the dressing room, apparently, and who's captain material, but unfortunately isn't able to display that in terms of playing ability. So for me, it's not enough, and we need to move Fletcher on. So a replacement for Fletcher would be ideal. And that might sound slightly disrespectful for a fan that doesn't have Albion as their first club, of course, like me. But if Fletcher this season, especially last 4 or 5 months, has been really, really poor. And there's no blame attached to that for Fletcher. I'm not sure he's going onto a pitch to purposely play bad football. But Pulis hasn't recognised that. And it's almost a jobs for the boys sort of role where, because Fletcher's a great character in the dressing room, he has to play every week. But I don't agree with that. I think you play your best team. And when we've got a young lad in Sam Field as a ready-made replacement brought up through the youth system, it is quite tough watching Fletcher play week in, week out. So we do need reinforcements in the middle of a park, maybe one, especially if Fletcher does move on because he's yet to sign a new deal. I'm hoping he doesn't. On the wings, we've got Phillips and McLean are probably the most prominent, with Chadley being played there. I would say that we probably need another couple of wingers, or we need to start putting faith in Jonathan Lecco, a young prospect of ours who hasn't been getting enough game time. But I think the main role is up front. Rondon has struggled this season at times because he's the only striker in a Pulis system. I do sound like a broken record, but you're expecting a player to play every week with his back to goal, trying to bring others into play, trying to also get on the end of chances himself, doing lots and lots of running, coming back to defend when he needs to. And, you know, he's going to struggle some weeks and have off games. I personally think Rondon has had enough of his role at the Albion, and not the fact that he's at the Albion. I think he's happy to be here, but I think he's probably had enough of the role he plays, and with China sniffing, maybe in the summer he might be on his way. If he were to leave, that would leave us with literally one striker in Hal Robson Cano. So we could probably do with about 3 strikers being signed in the summer. Names, I mean, I wouldn't be able to really give you any names just yet. I mean, there was talk of Defoe, but it looks like he's on his way to Bournemouth. Mm. But even then, if you do sign Defoe, he's a fairly lightweight player. and feeds off chances in and around the box, and that isn't Pulis's way at all. So it's tough. You need to sign players that are willing to come and integrate into Pulis's current system, who are going to improve the team as well, and that are of the right age to get the average squad age down to a number that's acceptable, because we have one of the oldest teams in the league now. So there are lots of questions to be asked, I think, in the summer, and I don't have the answers, unfortunately, just yet.
Yeah. If you had to say right now, way too early, 3 months from the start of next season, where you finish next year, or what the goal is next year, what would it be?
The goal is next year to stay in the Premier League, always is. And for me, we have to have a really good cup run. That would be great. It's because it's the fan base needs reinvigorating, and to get like a day out at Wembley would be fantastic. We are going to get a day out at Wembley, I think, anyway, because we're playing Tottenham next season. But a proper day out, maybe a semi-final, or push on in the cup competitions. Because if it's another season like this in terms of the league, then it's not going to make me want to. I mean, I'm not renewing my season ticket this year for the first time in God knows how long, because it's okay for me making a stand and saying all these things about the club and what direction I think we should be going in and what the club aren't doing, and then paying my season ticket money. It probably doesn't make me a hypocrite, but I have to question my motives behind buying a season ticket, and the positives don't outweigh the negatives. The negatives outweigh the positives, unfortunately, at the moment for me. So, I think for next season, we need to be doing as much as we can to get younger fans at games and to be getting atmosphere at the ground.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully that'll happen. Hopefully West Brom start giving out a better product that fans will definitely want to be filling the Hawthorns week in and week out. That can't happen in the off season though. So in this period of time, where can people find you?
You can find me at 1878_WBA on Twitter. You can check out our website, 1878.net. And if you want to check out my personal account, because I'm such a fun guy, clearly, that's at TheWatts22. But I wouldn't follow me until after the 9th of June, because we've got a general election going on and I talk a lot of politics and that might be quite boring.
You don't need people sliding onto your Twitter talking about all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real. All right. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for hosting me when I was over there. Also for coming on the show all season. Very much appreciate it.
My pleasure, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.